Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, this is going to be a longer segment than you're used to with Gary Lezak, and he's in studio right now, which is a shock. You seemed reluctant to want to come in studio today, but here you are, so we're very glad to have you. And you've teased that you're going to make a big announcement, even though you already put it on Facebook instead of saving it for the Border Patrol. So if some, but you know what? Not everyone follows you on Facebook.
I know, but this is disclose all, so you can ask me any question.
This is it. So do you want music? Do you want silence? Do you want? How do you want?
Well,
set the stage for us.
Some people might just be finding out. I've decided that I'm going to be moving. Andy and I and Rainbow and Sunny are moving to Colorado.
What?
Yeah, we are.
Are you going to work for Deion Sanders by any chance?
No.
Are you going to write a book like Jake Gutierrez?
I already have one. It's a Sunny Life.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, read that to my kids.
Yeah. And in It's a Sunny Life, you can get that on Amazon, I believe, still. There's a whole section on how we go on an adventure to the Rocky Mountains. So I'm going on an adventure to the Rocky Mountains.
And you wear a leather jacket and jeans throughout this whole adventure, if I remember correctly.
Where in Colorado are you moving to?
I'm moving to the western part of the Denver metropolitan area.
He doesn't want people to know that.
Yeah. Give us your address so people can come by.
My address is 1,003469.
Okay, so bring the music down. This is serious. So you're leaving. So the last time we had somebody on that was leaving Kansas City for Colorado, like Nate mentioned, Jake, it was not forever.
He came back.
And he came back. But even so, you know, it's for this amount of time, and then he'll reevaluate. Are you leaving? Are you sure that you're leaving? This is for good.
Well, it's not for good, you know. The most exciting thing is, you remember, I lived at the Links at Lionsgate Golf Course, had the beautiful signature house out there for a while, moved to the Plaza, moved into an apartment in Kansas City North, and when we moved into the apartment, it's like, hey, listen, now you can move anywhere you want because, you know, you don't have a house to sell. And so it might be for a year, it could be for 2 years, it could be for 10 years. I have no idea, but moving to Colorado is an exciting. I'm really the number one reason I'm moving. To
why Colorado?
Snow. You know me, Nate. You know
he
me.
Loves weather events. Don't
Nate's
you?
Writing down notes. He's writing down snow.
Loves snow.
Snow is the number one reason why I am
don't
moving.
Look,
I want to see snow. I want to experience snow. I want to see what it's like to actually live in a place where it snows a lot.
It snows in Kansas City, you know.
I know, 9 inches this past year. Yeah.
Most people, when they retire, they move away from the snow to somewhere where it's warm and sunny.
Right.
You're doing the exact opposite.
Exactly. Except for they say Colorado has like 300 days of sunshine.
They do have a lot of sunshine in color in Denver. But are you planning to do like snow sports? Are you going to snowboard or ski?
I'll ski. I go skiing.
Yeah. You're going to go skiing?
I am 61 years old, so we'll see about that skiing. But I'll go down the bunny slope.
You always stay on the greens.
The greens to the blues.
A lot of greens in Colorado.
I've done black diamonds, but I'm not going to do it. It's been a long time.
I don't want to do that.
How
do you feel about this?
You know, you know, on the way here, I had tears because I was listening to the song My Hometown by Bruce Springsteen. And you just need to look around. This song, I'm going to cry right now.
Don't do this.
You're going to make us all cry.
My hometown, Kansas City. I grew up in Los Angeles.
How long have you been in Kansas City?
31 years.
You're a Kansas Cityan.
Yeah.
I'm a Kansas Cityan. And this is going to be my hometown.
I can't believe you're willing to leave Mahomes.
Mahomestown. Hey, listen. I say Patrick, you say
Mahomes.
Thank you, Patrick.
You go out there and become a Broncos fan, and you can be sideways with me.
Yeah, if Mahomes was here right now, he might convince me to stay. Yeah.
Okay, so I need to ask you something. There's an elephant in the room, and it's not me. I got to ask you this.
Hometown.
Are you going to keep doing this segment on the Border Patrol?
Oh, that's a good question.
It is a good question that I've asked several times.
I know. You called me last night.
I did.
We had a good conversation. if I were to stay on the show, I'd have to get up at 6. I'd be on 6:55 every morning.
Get your morning started right.
It's true. I do get up early. I'm a morning person.
You haven't decided yet, have you?
I'm still deciding. Nate, what do you think?
I will say this. I've said this to you privately, and I'll say it to you publicly. I want you to stay on the show. You're a huge part of this show. You have been. We decided for a decade and a half now, right? 16 years. And I would not want anyone else to do this segment on this show. I mean, you're like family. You're such an important part of what we do. And so, selfishly...
I don't have friends.
That's right.
I got family.
I don't have friends. You're like Fast and Furious 10. And I know, like, I don't want to be selfish and say, yeah, I want you to wake up out there in Colorado at 6:45 every morning or whatever, but, I mean, selfishly, yes.
It could be a running joke. I could be like, right. Is Gary awake?
That's exactly right.
Is Gary awake?
Is Gary stoned in Colorado? No. We don't know. But we want you, I want you to, I can't speak for Nate. I don't know what Nate, corporate Nate. I want you to stay on the show. You're a very important part of the show. You're a very important part of Kansas City. You're a very important part of my life. I'm sad that you're leaving, but I'm happy if this is what you want for you and Andy. And so I'll let Nate speak on this because he has some say in this about whether or not he wants you to do this segment. Maybe he doesn't want you to. Let's hear it.
Well, of course we need you to keep doing this as long as you're willing to do it.
Right.
And the reason why is because the same reason that Kansas City became your hometown.
Right.
Some of us, you know, for Steven and me and Marco, we were born and raised here, and it's just kind of in our blood. But I don't want to speak for you, Gary, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, but you have always struck me as a person who fit so perfectly in this community because of your positivity, because of your warmth. I'm going to start getting all choked up because of the way you connect with every person you come in contact with in this town, the joy you brought to your job, but also just your overall friendliness. And people love you in this city. You know, I always tell you when I do my Big Steps race, no matter what celebrities would ever show up at the race, Emily Burns Mitchell was more excited to see Gary Lezak than anybody else. And this is your hometown because you fit in this town so perfectly and you connect with people here.
Did you remember, Marco, you were there to see this. When you know, I didn't know I invited you. You both show up at one of the Twins basketball games this year at St. Gabe's.
Mm-hmm.
And who did everybody want to see? Who did everyone want to talk to? And you don't,
parents.
Maybe you do, but you light up the room. Everyone was fired up to see you, but you have that impact everywhere you go.
Right.
And you're not going to have that in Colorado, but you're going to be happy in Colorado. But this is, you've made these connections, but these connections you've made in Kansas City, they won't dissipate. They're forever.
Yeah, it's something I'm going to debate. I got, you know, next week will be my last week here with you guys, unless it isn't. So let me think about it.
Yeah.
But I'll be thinking about it. But, you know, next week. But, you know, we're moving to Colorado. I got a company. It's called Weather 2020. My purpose in life, my passion is to get this technology out to the world, the methodology to help save lives around the world. I mean, we can predict when and where big weather events are going to happen. So that's one of the emphases of you know, moving to Colorado as well, is to really 100% put all my effort into that, which it already is. But it's something I'll consider and talk about, guys. You know, it's interesting. You know,
is it Nate that's preventing you from committing?
It's tough.
You know,
speaking of committing, I'm committed to the Kansas City Chiefs since I started working on this radio station. These are the quarterbacks that have been the Chiefs quarterbacks.
I knew it was going to get around somehow to Alex Smith.
No, well, not yet, but Trent Green and Damon Heward in 2006, 2007 when I started with you guys. Then Brody Croyle, you remember him? He was always injured.
What's wrong with that?
And Damon Heward and Tyler Thigpen. Matt Castle and Brody Croyle was the backup. Matt Castle for 4 years. Then Alex Smith. I loved Alex Smith.
I can't believe you're skipping over Brady Quinn and Kyle Orton.
Brady Quinn, Kyle Orton, Chase Daniel.
Yeah.
come on, your man Chase from Mizzou.
Right.
And then Alex Smith and Nick Foles. I did the controversial Twitter battle with Alex Smith's wife, Elizabeth.
Right.
And then Mahomes.
One of the best feuds of my life in Kansas City is you versus Alex Smith's wife.
That was
That's
definitely,
still one of the best feuds of, does this have to be sad right now?
No, it doesn't have to be sad.
I don't want this to be sad.
It's not sad.
Okay? Can we liven it up just a
little
bit?
Let's not hide from any of the emotions of this. This run the whole spectrum.
This song.
Let me see.
When people hear this song in Kansas City now, they think of you, they have a hope of 69 degrees.
That's right. I know.
You can't take this away from Kansas City.
In about 1 hour, it's going to be 69 degrees.
Happy birthday!
69 degrees!
You want to walk away from this?
A 3-pound bologna chub.
This is amazing. I've never been in here to celebrate like this, where everyone thought that all your sound effects were like tapes that Marco played. These are live.
I got a nice beaver rug in the house down the lake.
That's amazing.
This is Nat Sound.
It's crazy.
You want to walk away from this? You can still have this in Colorado via telephone.
Yeah, all it takes is one phone call in the morning. That's it, man.
That's it. I mean,
pretty easy.
I know. It is pretty easy. What does Kansas City think? You know?
Oh, Kansas City's already weighing in on Twitter. They can't. This guy, Steven, says, I can't imagine the Border Patrol without Gary.
Really?
Please stay. Yeah.
Are you serious?
You're part of this show, man, whether you like it or not. You know?
Do you like it? Wait a minute. Hold on. What's this?
Uh-oh.
What the hell?
Oh, my God. No way. Hey. Chad Boger, the man himself, is here this early?
He baked a cake last night.
Thank you,
I was
man.
On the phone. He was this measuring and everything.
Unbelievable.
What does that say, Gary?
It's like, congratulations,
give him the
Gary.
Microphone. Give Chad the microphone, please.
We will miss you. Wow, Chad.
Well, yeah, we love Gary. We're going to miss him for sure. Oh. But he's not leaving, Steven. Come on.
They're trying to convince
me to stay.
Well, that's a given, Gary. When you told me, I'm like, well, you're staying. I know you're staying.
Look at that. Congratulations, that Gary. We will miss you.
Gary, I got to get a picture of that.
It's amazing. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow. This is crazy.
You have to do some extra crunches after you eat that.
I know. There you go. It's pretty heavy. Wow.
Do you like chocolate?
Mm, I like the frosting.
Oh, easy there. Calm down there. He can't leave, but he has to stay on the show, right, Chad? He has to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Do you have a napkin? Anyway.
what does it say in the Bronx
his paws.
Now you just can't leave.
Right.
I know. This is great. Hey, listen. There's a song I introduced you guys to a long time ago. What does the fox say? Remember that?
Oh, boy.
Do you remember that, Marco?
Trust me. I don't.
Here we go. Listen to this. No one had ever heard it before.
There's a reason for that, Gary.
Yeah. Mm. Are you going to do it again live now for us?
Here we go. Here we go.
Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow. But there's one sound.
But no one knows. What does the fox say? What does the fox say? Yucka ducka ducka duck boo! Rucka chucka chuck chuck goo! Rucka ducka bucka buck bing!
What the fox say?
You want this to end? Really?
Oh my goodness.
Who else can you do that with in Colorado?
What does the fox say? Hockey hoo! Hockey, hockey, hockey hoo! Oh my goodness.
Yucka ducka da! Yucka ducka ducka da! Yucka ducka ducka da!
Did you say you had drinks last night or today?
I did. Don't tell Andy.
So. Well, he doesn't listen.
Man, that was a good callback right there. There's been a lot of great moments with you.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Hey, Chad.
Hey, I do want to say congratulations.
You've been
a wonderful part of Sports Radio 810, everything we've done, all your community work. I mean, you're an idol here in Kansas City. I know a lot of people are going to miss you. We obviously will miss you. We hope you stay and you're on the air with us. But
right.
if not,
yes.
tons of memories, and we hope you guys come back and visit us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Booger. Appreciate
how about that?
Wow.
Now you got blue mouth.
I wish people could see the imagery when Gary was doing the "What does the fox say?" And he's got all this blue frosting in his mouth. His whole mouth.
Do I have blue frosting all over my mouth?
You're, yeah.
Well, we just celebrated, you know. So
man,
yeah. Oh boy, this is tough. This is gonna be tough.
You that Conrad McGuirkin has put together a montage.
Look at that! No way.
Different great moments for you from you and.
Oh my! Look at that,
Kansas
Conrad.
City.
Oh, yeah. I remember that ET one. That was a.
Man,
you're overwhelmed right now, aren't you?
Mm.
What do you say? So that we'll get serious for a minute. Now, you've kind of given that message, but all the people in Kansas City. I feel like you've met everyone in Kansas City now over the years. If you haven't met Gary, it's because didn't want
to. I mean, the one man I never met, and I'm telling you, could have convinced me to stay, is Patrick Mahomes. You know, I was this close.
Out.
Because of Alex Smith, I didn't really meet Patrick. He was in the big. Kareem Hunt and Patrick Mahomes were at the Plaza Lighting in the VIP area with me and Alex Smith, and I was explaining to Alex Smith how you do the flip of the switch, and then, you know, he. I ended up doing a really good job at it, but Mahomes was right there, and I never went over.
Well,
and
why did you say something?
Well, he was a rookie, you know.
That was your one chance.
I know.
So, what do you say to Kansas City right now?
Kansas City, I'm going to miss you. It is we've had 31 years here, and I came to Kansas City. No one knew who I was. I came to Kansas City. Started at Channel 4, moved to 41. I've been on radio stations from, you know, KFKF to a few others. And then these guys, Steven, Nate, Jake, we came in, we talked, and Nate says, "Gary, you know, we're all sports experts. There's no real sports expert. Just come on, tell us what you think." And I'll always remember that. And so I've told you what I thought.
You have.
And I've been here for 16 years with you guys, Kansas City for 31 years. And as Bruce Springsteen says, this is your hometown. This is my hometown. And just look around Kansas City as you drive around the day and appreciate this place. When I'm in Denver and I go to the Chiefs Broncos game, that streak's going to continue. 14 wins in a row over Denver. 15 now?
Yeah.
15 wins in a row. Let's make it 16, 17, 18, 20, 30. Let's make it the all-time record. We hate the Broncos. So, I'm going to miss Kansas City. I didn't do the weather.
Well, that's, you know, how's it any different than any other stuff you've done?
It's going to be sunny all weekend. No chance of rain. The high of 83.
So, Sunday night for Purple Jam and Knuckleheads with Richie St. John, it's all good in that hood.
It's looking fantastic.
I'm saying the allergy count must be high right now because my allergies have been acting up this whole segment.
Yeah, it is. It is. You can get that allergy count.
Yeah.
From KSHB 41.
It's making my eyes water.
So people that are going to ask again whether or not you're staying on the show, I have publicly and privately begged you to stay on the show. You are going to consider it, and we're going to meet next week for lunch or drinks. My suspicions lead me to believe it'll be drinks.
Could be both.
And we will try to if we can get
it's like you're recruiting me.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. Right. If we can get we will give you improper benefits if that's what it takes. If we can get Mr. Flyaway Nate to join us.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even Marco, whatever.
Yeah.
But again, we love you. We're happy for you. We're happy for you and Andy that you're doing what you want and moving to Colorado. But we hope you stay on the show with us. And if not, then you'll just have to have us out there as guests.
If I say, hey, snow's moving in, and you say, Gary, that's Denver, it's not right. Kansas City, will you let me do that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
So I might be pretty excited.
Yes.
Right.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Thank you, Kansas City. Thank you, Sports Radio 810, for this cake. And we can split it. I can't have this whole cake.
Oh, you have to. It's all yours.
But I appreciate it. And I love you all. And there's deep, deep, deep feelings about Kansas City. And they'll always be with me. I love you. I love all of you guys.
And you will always be in Kansas City. And a part of Kansas City. That's Mr. Gary Lezak. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady after an emotional segment with Gary Lezak leaving Kansas City for Colorado and TBD whether or not Gary decides to stay on the show, but the invitation is open to him. But right now we'll talk to Mike DePasquale. Mike's got this. Mike, what's going on, man?
Man, that's a tough act to follow.
Right.
I just listened. I knew Marco told me that Gary had a special announcement, and I got an intuition, one skill. I got good intuition, and I knew he was moving. I wasn't thinking Colorado, though. I didn't really have a place in mind. I'll tell Gary something. I say he's moving there because they have snow. So I was born in Buffalo, New York. They have snow there.
Yeah.
It's overrated.
That's a unique approach, moving to the snow. But
I like to visit the snow and then get the heck out of the snow. Although I will argue, though, that we have perhaps one of the worst climates in America, in the Midwest, or at least in Kansas. Hot summers. So I'm good with heat. I'm good with that. And then we get winters. We don't get any snow. We just get, like, cold and ice and gloom. But I still love it, and I keep coming back for more. And I'm not moving. That's my announcement. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I'm not leaving us, Kansas City. I'm here. You're stuck with me.
Don't you think he should keep coming on the show, though, while he's in Colorado?
Yeah, what's your vote?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Listen, I used to work in the TV biz. I know these weather guys, though. They're drama kings and queens.
I think Gary's kind of fishing. He wants us to throw a lot of rose petals at his feet and really, really beg hard, for him to stay.
I tried.
I'm willing to do it.
You better do it because I honestly remember I was listening a second ago when he tuned you guys on to that that song. Is it, what does the fox say? Is that what it is?
Or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Because my kids were super young and then they were listening to it and. That was repressed back in, like, back lobe of my brain that this was buried in there. And human body is a funny thing how it works. So, yes, beg Gary to stay. That's what he wants.
All right,
we all want that. We all want people to want us to. We all want to be wanted in life. That's mm-hmm. how life works.
No, we trust me. We want him to stay because I don't know who
I know
would fill that segment. But, okay, so I have one question for you. I don't know if it's so much of a legal question. I mean, it is, but I thought this was interesting. And Jameson Williams, I don't think it's a great defense, but it's maybe an excuse, but not a defense. So Jameson Williams, the young star wide receiver from the Lions, met with reporters for the first time since his 6-game suspension for violating the league's gambling policy was announced. And he said that it hit him out of the blue. He said it hit a couple of other players around the league as well out of the blue. He said, I wasn't aware of this situation. So he's saying he was ignorant of what the rules were. And he said, after it happened, I took it on the chin. I was ready to move forward as things moved on, and I got the consequences. That's my plan. Looking forward to better days. He's not going to appeal since he broke an NFL policy, and he vows to make the right decisions. And so he was suspended for betting on non-NFL events from an NFL facility, players are allowed to bet on NFL or on non-NFL sports, but not at the team facility. He said, I'm not a gambler. I'm a football player. But, I mean, this is getting dicey here, right? So, 'cause of course, now when you're getting more and more states having gambling legal, and then you're telling these guys, okay, can't bet on the NFL, but you can bet on non-NFL events and games.
But not from the facility.
Right. You could do it, you know, down the street in the parking lot at Quick Trip, but then if you pull into here and you're the trainer, so then you can't do it. I'm not trying to defend Jameson Williams, but at that age, I can remember I wasn't exactly attention to detail wasn't my strong suit. So I could see that's maybe a little bit confusing. I mean, I don't know. Is that what, like how do you? Like, you're representing him, or, I mean, that's, again, it's not a great defense. Ignorance, well, I didn't know about it, I didn't understand it, but it is kind of convoluted where, yeah, you can bet on this, non-NFL games, but you can do it when you're here, but you can't do it when you're there, and I don't know. It seems like this is going to be harder and harder for the NFL to manage.
Well, yeah, it reminds me of a failed legal tactic that I used to employ for myself. I used to, as a youngster, be hurrying around trying to get places, and I determined that if I did not see the red light, therefore I did not violate the red light if I accidentally ran one.
Right.
And I remember one time I was 22, 23 years old, getting ready to go to law school, thinking like a lawyer, may have ran a red light, was pulled over, and employed the, but I didn't see it was a red light, so therefore no intent, right, officer? Smart aleck, young buck, and still issued me the ticket. So the officer was Roger Goodell. And what's this guy's name?
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams is a young Michael DePasquale. But actually, that's ridiculous, though. Actually, at first, I was kind of laughing when you were reading what he was saying because I was thinking about my red light defense as a 22-year-old. But I actually agree with him. I mean, come on. That's whatever.
So people, I mean, I think it does bring up this whole question. People are asking, is this going to be a bigger problem for professional sports in America? In other countries, gambling is legal, like soccer alarm. But watching soccer games across the world, there are teams that have like casinos, like Bet360 as their jersey sponsor. You know, but now the NFL, and now that's happening in the United States. You know, the NFL's in bed with a bunch of different gambling services. The NBA is too. They're making money off DraftKings and all this stuff. And people are asking, is this going to make it a bigger problem to monitor the behavior of your athletes, or is the fact that there are so many guys getting caught doing it proof that now they'll be able to regulate it better? Because in the past, guys would just do it, you know, under the cover of, you know, whatever underground bookie they were using and things like that. Now it's easy to track because it's all digital. It's all online.
Well, they're tracking it.
And but how are they catching these guys, though? Like, I doubt the gambling platforms are like, yep, here's a list of names that match up to your players.
Well, they got to be geofenced, right? Because in some states they're legal and some states they're not. That phone can tell if you're in Kansas or Missouri.
I'm just surprised that the leagues are mining for this data. Here's the deal. The rules should be, it's real simple. I got it figured out for all the leagues. I'd sit down with their general counsels, explain to them why I'm right and they're wrong. It's just, you can't bet on your own sport. That's it. Come on. Like,
I know working for Major League Soccer, we got a long list of things, and it basically was, you can gamble on other sports, you cannot gamble on soccer of any kind. It doesn't matter if it's our league or another league, you cannot bet on soccer.
And I mean, that's why the MLS, they're forward thinking, fastest growing professional sport from a franchise perspective, I think, probably in the world, right? Like, every time I turn around, they're adding new franchises. They know what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, come on, this is silly. And we'll look back on this in, I don't know how many years, but not that far off in the future, and chuckle about it. They suspended the guy for 6 games because he bet inside the four corners of the facility, where if he had driven a Quick Trip, he would have been okay.
That's
yeah, like, what's the difference?
Right?
What?
Because he's not betting on football. And he's betting on something they said he could bet on. It's just where he was standing when he did it.
Yeah, I feel bad for this guy. Again, at first I was getting ready to laugh at it. I thought he was going to have a dumb excuse, you know, like I did the red light. But no, this is dumb, really dumb. But it's just the NFL is slow to change things, so they'll probably be the last one to do it. And then, you know what? They've been successful. I get it. All these guys are billionaires, but stupid rule. Good excuse, though, James, whatever his name is. But it's not going to work.
Because I was with you when I first saw, like, oh, this is going to be ridiculous.
Funny,
but then I could see, like, I could totally see how he might have got confused. I mean, that just seems like, because it seems like a ridiculous, you know, be like, we tell Marco, hey, Marco, you can gamble on sports. You just can't do it when you're sitting there, but go out in the parking lot and you can.
I remember
might
after.
Might as well take away my phone then.
After a Kansas football game when Kansas played Missouri back when they used to play in football. In Lawrence, I got done with my post game show, and they had passed a big deal to where you could actually drink when you tailgated, because the stadium in Lawrence is on campus, and campus is supposed to be dry. You couldn't drink in public on campus, so they passed a deal that around the stadium on game days you could drink. And I got done with the game, and some buddies of mine and I, they were tailgating. I got done with post game. I met them, and they said, "Hey, we're going to walk down to the wheel," and they handed me a beer.
I bet they did.
And we walked from the stadium over the hill to the wheel, and on the way to the wheel, we got swarmed by police officers, and they arrested all of us for having beer in public. And I had to go to court in Lawrence, and I had to go on like diversion or whatever for holding a can of beer in my hand 50 yards away from where I was allowed to. Like, you can stand here and have it. You can stand in that building over there and have it, but you can't walk from there to that building and have it in your hands. That'll get you, you know, you're going to have
a... That'll send you up the river. going to Leavenworth. Yeah. There's a lot of dumb rules out there. That rule you just described, that law, that city ordinance, whatever governs that, if it's still around, is one of the dumbest rules, dumbest law, dumbest ordinances there is. To your point, you can step across a line. Gotcha.
And then
find your back.
It was, I mean, I don't know. I just like, well, I guess I go on diversion, and I had to pay like $500 to the city, and you know,
you learned your lesson.
I did.
Good.
Got
it. Mike, if there's anyone out there like Nate Bucati that's breaking the law with no regard for public safety, could you please tell people how they can get a hold of you if they need your help?
Yes, but I got to say one thing, Stephen. So it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, sir.
Your boy Frank Shemeka hooked me up with some delicious hot chicken Italian sausage.
You up with that sausage, baby?
Devouring.
The sausage.
Slipped you a little sausage, huh?
And nothing wrong with that. Your weekend's off to a good start
now.
There
we go.
Yes, I'm actually in Oklahoma. Got down here last night. I ate at a dine-in Pizza Hut in Columbus, Kansas. Not the nostalgia I was hoping for, let me put it that way. But the kids working there were great. But in any event, so yeah, get a hold of me. MikeScottFish.com. Hope everyone has a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be beautiful weather. We need Gary to stay. So everybody out there, work his social media feeds. We need him. Gary, expect you back.
We'll see if we can get this weekend without Nate getting accused of public intoxication. So. Keep your fingers crossed.
Don't call me on that.
Right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Hey, I want to tell you about my friends at E-Tech Custom Coatings. That's E-T-E-K, Custom Coatings, a locally owned garage floor coatings company that uses polyaspartic coating. That's a coating that's four times stronger than epoxy. I used E-Tech Custom Coatings a few years ago. They put in a beautiful brand new garage floor for me with the KC Sky color scheme, which I love. It's a little bit of light blue, a little bit of gray. It makes my garage look like a beautiful room in my house. It's easy to clean. It's durable. And they installed it the right way because their installers are employees, not contractors. You've had contract work done in the past. Sometimes, you know, somebody just, they pop in, they try to do your job as fast as they can, then they move on to the next thing. At E-Tech Custom Coatings, you got to work on a crew for a year before you even get to lead a crew. And that means they do it the right way. I mean, they got down around the stairs of my garage and everything and did it by hand in one day. And if you have any problems, they come out and they take care of it. They guarantee the work for 15 years. So all you got to do is give them a call. My mom just did the same thing. They're using E-Tech Custom Coatings. They had them out there in a day, and it was done easy peasy. 913-745-3732 or online at etechcustomcoatings.com. That's E-T-E-K customcoatings.com.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com. It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Mike McFarland. What's up, Mac?
Hola, boys. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, well, a lot cooler today. I ain't ready for the humidity yet.
I'm not ready for none of it.
80% humidity. I'm not ready for it yet.
The heat, all that. I don't like it when the sweat dripped down my... Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'm gonna say that.
To the window!
Get out of the car and you,
to the wall!
You wonder why the bottom part's sopping wet. Yeah,
right, that's
exactly.
Right. So, let's get into some Royals discussion.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? I'll find some somewhat positive nuggets here. Because...
Are we ready for the Drew Water Show?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you about. So... They send down Nate Eaton, and there's going to be a corresponding move today, and everyone's assuming it's going to be Drew Waters, who has been, especially as of late, very impressive in his rehab assignment. And even last year, even though it wasn't overly impressive, he still... had an OPS of over 800 and about 108 plate appearances for the Royals last year. And on his rehab assignment, he hit .327 with a .397 on base, a .633 slug, hit a couple of home runs. So he's looked very good. And so I'm just curious what your expectations, what your hopes are for Drew Waters now that he's actually going to be back with the big team after recovering from that oblique injury.
Yeah, well, what? I think he started out 1-for-20, 1-for-25 or something, and then has hit over 500 since that start. So, yeah, I would say that he's semi-locked in. Get him up here. And right about now, I think I can speak for all the Royals fans. Throw something against the wall and hope it sticks. Bring him up. Let him add a little bit of a spark offensively. You know, I know that Lynch is pretty close to coming back. You know, the biggest issue I've had lately is just the starters going 3-4 innings, maybe five. That bullpen is severely taxed, which we've seen. There's a lot of hanging arms. The off day was good, but you're coming in and facing a Nationals team that is in a rebuilding process of their own, but they have some pretty decent arms on the mound. So, yeah, let's get Waters in there, see if he can spark the lineup a little bit, get some runs on the board early, and let the starters go past the fourth and fifth inning.
So you're getting Drew Waters back from injury. They DFA'd Hunter Dozier after Nicky Lopez returned from his appendectomy. So you're shuffling the roster a little bit, but the difficult move, according to JJ and Matt Quatero, was finally moving on from Hunter Dozier. So I'd like to get your reaction to, I mean, look, the writing was on the wall, and he just wasn't getting any better. And there's a lot of teams that would not have given the amount of second and third and fourth chances, the amount of at-bats to Hunter Dozier and have him struggle that much for that long and still give him everyday at-bats. But finally we saw what the breaking point was. What was your reaction when you heard that they were finally going to move on from Hunter Dozier and open up those at-bats to younger players?
Well, not to put it in an undelicate way, but put him out of his misery. Yeah. I mean, look, we know how heartfelt a young man he is, and someone will pick him up and give him a shot. But the weight of the contract and lack of performance just kept building on him and making it impossible for him to try and find a groove where he could get hot, get back into the lineup, and start producing like he did when they give him set, when they gave him that contract. So, you know, it was good of them to get it done fairly early in the season, so he has a chance to hook on with someone else, even if it is just to sign him to a minor league deal with one of those clauses in there saying if he's not called up by, you know, All-Star break or slightly after, they'll release him again. But I think just a fresh place, a fresh mouth to work with him, you know, not only mentally from a hitting standpoint, but mechanical standpoint, just to get him loose, because you're talking about a big, strong, power hitting individual that kind of fell off a cliff there, searching for answers with the swing. I think it got to a point where it was paralysis by analysis. There were so many things going on in his head that he just couldn't do it and trying so hard. But still, this is a business. It's a performance-based business. Wasn't getting it done. And you're trying to see as many of these young players get the opportunity to succeed or fail at the major league level. You had to move on from him, and I hope he finds another place to play.
Okay, Max, so I wanted to ask you a question that kind of popped into my head yesterday. We had Jesse Newell in here, and he was talking about some of the different things that the new coaching staff is trying to work on. And one of the – he was just giving some examples of maybe little kernels of things that you can look for. And one of them was the catchers getting better at pitch framing. And I don't know how they use – I don't study these metrics well enough to know, but according to Jesse – Salvador Perez has gotten far better at pitch framing this year than he has in the past, and that maybe that's a positive. So then I looked at the stats, and the Royals, with improved pitch framing and with all of the talk of raiding the zone that we had all preseason, the Royals have walked more batters than anybody in baseball outside of the Oakland A's. Actually, the White Sox just moved past the Royals, so now the Royals have walked the third most batters of anybody in baseball. And I guess my question is, how much, like, how long should it take a staff to be able to implement a concept like raiding the zone, you know, cutting down on your walks, throwing more strikes? Can we judge this coaching staff on that yet, or is it still just about, like, they don't have good enough pitchers to do it? How should we evaluate what they're trying to accomplish as a coaching staff right now?
Well, look, framing is only as good as the umpire strike zone. I mean, irregardless, they're calling the pitch, even if you do get your thumb under that low pitch and raise it up and kind of pluck it into the strike zone, they're still reading it according to their zone. All right, so let's be clear about that. I think it's while you might be able to get one here and there, the majority of the time the umpire's already determined ball or strike before you've tried to, quote, frame it. But all those analytics now, when it comes to the pitching staff, it has become a league of secondary pitches, which means there is just a crap ton of curves, sliders, splitters, forkballs. You know, the 2-0 count, good luck getting a fastball in that count. And I think a lot of the pitchers on this staff have lost their feel for the fastball, more importantly, the command for their fastball, none more important than Brady Singer, you know, with the slider and the changeup and everything that he keeps wanting to work on. Well, you still have to establish the fact you can throw a strike on the fastball and put it where you want to. And that's how good these hitters are with the, you know, going back to, oh, yeah, back when I played. But the strike zone is so much smaller than it was a while ago. You have to be able to dart a corner with a fastball to force that hitter to expand the zone and read fastball and swing and miss at the split finger. And it just seems to me, and it's not only the Royals, it's all around the league. It has become a huge secondary pitch league. And I think there's been, you know, unless you're Garrett Cole and some of those other guys throwing 100, they've lost command of that fastball. I think first and foremost, they have to start getting ahead a little bit more with a first pitch strike, first pitch fastball, and go from there.
Okay, so Nate brings up pitch framing, but there's a chance that pitch framing won't matter anymore just when the Royals maybe are getting good at it. Jeff Passan wrote an article at ESPN about the future of balls and strikes and the robot ump debate. And he's talking about the possibility of full automated balls and strikes, which would be the death of catcher framing, because it wouldn't matter anymore. And there are a lot of people, he says, in the game that don't want that. He also says the challenge system is very popular among on-field personnel. And, you know, MLB is hoping or wondering if they can change. By changing the strike zone, it would encourage more balls in play. But, like, for you as a former catcher and someone that loves baseball, if the full automated balls and strike system is implemented and that's the death of catcher framing, is that good or bad?
Well, again, I hate anything that takes the human element out of the game. I 100% against that. You might as well put a Johnny Bench pitchback back there and, you know, have the umpire stand behind the screen, and if it beeps in his ear, it's a strike. I like the human interaction, the calls, the umpire making a mistake every now and then or giving you a pitch that isn't called a strike, that isn't a strike, calling it a strike. That's my side of it. You talk to Kevin Seitzer, you know, Seitz always keeps saying, I want the same strike zone, the same for everybody. And that includes, you know, he wants the robo strike zone. So we have that argument, you know, 20 times a year. But still, I'm as a catcher, if I'm a pitcher, yeah, I probably want the robo zone. If I'm a catcher, no. I want back there. I want the pop of the mitt. I want the ability to interact with the umpire, to work with him, to get the strike zone a little bit more where you want it. All of that stuff, taking the human element out of the game, I'm 100% against.
Mm-hmm. So we will it's going to be fascinating to see what happens moving forward, but I would encourage anyone to read Jeff Passan's column about that.
Yeah, we're lucky to have had that guy for a while. He can flat out write a story.
All right, so now just to wrap things up, Royals get the Nationals. I mean, every time it seems like maybe they're turning things around and playing good baseball, then they fall flat. And so, how do you feel right now? Is there? And we talked about it. They hopefully get Drew Waters back. Nicky Lopez is back. Daniel Lynch is around the corner, so there is going to be an influx of talent, so maybe they can help them start to climb out of this hole they've dug.
Well, I mean, when you go out and beat the Padres 2 out of 3, I said, all right, here we go. This has turned the corner. This is when they're going to get on a roll. The White Sox have been struggling. You got the Tigers coming in, and then it's gone to hell in a handbasket again. You know, a couple bad starts by the starters. It's just going to be that season, and that you have to understand you're going to have a lot of the inconsistencies of wins and losses just because you have a young staff and you have a young core of fielders trying to work their way through the grind of mentally and physically playing every single day. So, look, if you went into this year with those expectations, you should expect more downs than ups. But still, the clean play is what I'd like to see. The consistency of fielding, the consistency of pitchers raiding the strike zone, which was the mantra coming out of spring training. You know, the pitch clock, I love. I love the better pace of the games. Let's go, get on the mound, get in the box, let's get after it. I think that has been an absolute beautiful thing for fans and, you know, baseball aficionados alike. But still, the inconsistencies are going to be there with such a young team. You're going to see the hitters go through monster slumps. You know, even Vinny, who's been the stalwart along with Salvi in the lineup, went through a serious funk. Looks like he's back and ready to go. So that's what it's going to be for the rest of the year, guys. And I think anything above that would be a very good second half to the season. But Yeah, you're going to have more losses than wins, I'm afraid.
Mike McFarland has been our guest. Mac, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Tell Nate to stay out of trouble this weekend.
Stay out of trouble. Go drinking in public. We'll be right back after this on WHB.